Welcome to About Greyhounds, the podcast about greyhounds. I'm Jacqueline Howard. On an episode last year, we talked to you about the largest greyhound event in the world, Greyhounds in Gettysburg, affectionately known as GIG. It takes place this year in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, April 25th through the 29th. Before I introduce you to our guest, here's a little bit of background on Gettysburg and its significance to Americans. Between 1861 and 1865, the United States was in a civil war, the North against the South. On July 1st through July 3rd, 1863, there was a turning point in the war with a battle fought in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. It was the bloodiest, with an estimated 50,000 Confederate and Union soldiers killed. Gettysburg is hallowed ground. Today, it's the site of Gettysburg National Military Park. Inside the park are the Gettysburg Museum and Visitor Center, Gettysburg National Cemetery, a memorial marking the site of Abraham Lincoln's famous Gettysburg Address, and over 1,300 other memorials and markers throughout the park. On a side note, famous or infamous, depending on your perspective, Greyhound Dad, General George Custer, fought at Gettysburg. You can hear about him and his dogs in a Past About Greyhounds episode. I'll put a link to it in the show notes of this episode. So with that background, it is my pleasure to welcome back to the show the president of Nittany Greyhounds and the executive director of Greyhounds in Gettysburg, Tony Ducci. Hi, Tony.
Good morning.
Tony, last year you shared the history of Greyhounds in Gettysburg, or GIG, and what attendees could expect in 2018. This year, I'd love to hear about 2019, and so would our audience. So for those new to GIG, what is this event all about?
Well, first and foremost, Greyhounds in Gettysburg is a fundraiser. It's our largest fundraiser of the year. We have the same expenses that every other group has, sometimes more because we have a facility. We have a kennel in State College, Pennsylvania. So this is our biggest fundraiser of the year, and it has grown exponentially over the last 6 or 7 years that we've been doing it. It was originally started by Triangle Greyhounds out of North Carolina. And we took it over and have grown it every year. Last year was the 20th anniversary. And this year we expected less participation, but it's our numbers are sky high. So we're really excited about that. I don't exactly know why that is, but I'm hoping it's because of podcasts and articles and things that is getting the word out about how this event is way more than just shopping, that it is educational and it is social, and we're a community. And that's kind of what we're celebrating this year, is the community of Greyhound supporters.
Great. Now, I know that one of the things people love is that they can bring their greyhounds, but I am wondering if people can bring other breeds of sighthounds like Galgos, or is it open to all dogs?
It is. Technically, it's open to all dogs. We always tell people that if you have a little furry white thing, don't bring it unless it's in a container of some sort. And we have a lot of people who bring their other breeds with them. They have greyhounds and they have a beagle, or they have a Boston, or they have something else. And so, yeah, they're welcome to bring them as long as they're social and as long as people are aware that some greyhounds are really high prey drive. And so you have to be careful of what your little dog is doing at all times if you're going to bring a small dog. We have all kinds of sighthounds. We have Galgos has a big presence there. This year, the China dogs will have a presence. Borzois always have a presence there. So, yeah, we invite anyone who has a sighthound to come. The Iggies are always well represented. They have an event within our event.
Wow.
So they're right up there.
Great. And you mentioned China dogs. Just on a personal note, and my audience doesn't know this yet, so this is new to them. My family just adopted a China Greyhound. He was rescued from the China meat trade and flown to New York City. And he is now in our family. So I'm excited that there's going to be some China dog representation there. That's exciting.
Absolutely.
That's exciting. Yep. So the event opens with a parade on Thursday evening, which is, of course, the first day. Tell me about that. Like, where does it begin? Who's in it? Who watches it? How long is it?
Well, years ago, when the event used to be at the Outlet Mall, they would start the event with a parade. And it was basically a parade of groups. And you'd get your flag together, and you'd get your volunteers together, and you'd walk in the parade around the Outlet Mall. And when we took it over, when we moved the event out to the All-Star Center, we stopped doing the parade because it just wasn't convenient and we were doing something different and all that.
Sure.
And so last year, to celebrate the 20th anniversary, we decided to go back, sort of like a nostalgia night, and have the parade at the mall. And it was so successful. Oh, my gosh. Everybody showed up. We had the Grand Marshal of the parade was the president of Triangle Greyhound Society, and she rode in the golf cart that she always rode in during the parade, and all the groups lined up behind it, and we had vehicles and dogs, and it was so much fun. Everybody had a blast, and then we had a hot dog social afterwards that was free to participants, and we have a free raffle. Everybody gets a ticket, and then we pull tickets for prizes. It was just a really fun event. So people have just demanded to have that back. So we're going to do it again this year. And we're putting the final touches on it now. But it's basically going to be the same format. We'll meet at the mall. And there'll be instructions on the website and in the materials about exactly where to meet. And everyone will get their ticket, and everybody will get in line. And we'll parade around the mall. Then we'll go have hot dogs. So it's really, really fun. It's a simple event, but it's sort of a good kickoff that harkens back to the old days, but yet is a fun way for people to get together on the first day.
Right. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I saw some videos of last year's parade. Mm-hmm. And number one, I couldn't believe how many people were there with their dogs.
I know.
Wow.
I know, hundreds.
Yeah. Like, I mean, what a sight that must be for people who don't know, you know, that this is going on, and they come upon all these people and their beautiful dogs. Like, it must be incredible. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was nothing but smiles. So it looks like it's a ton of fun.
Yeah, the public kind of stands around with their mouths hanging open.
That's great. So that evening, after the parade, mm-hmm. there is going to be a bonfire. So what's that like, and can people bring their dogs to that?
Oh, absolutely. Dogs can come to anything all weekend. We plan it so that everything that we do is dog-friendly.
Perfect.
The bonfire is really just another way for people to get together in the evening, sit around the bonfire. We have had ghost stories in the past. I'm still working on that. I think we're going to be able to do that again this year. But it's just a way that people can sit in the dark in front of a fire and enjoy each other's company in the warm, usually warm evening. Of course, if it's raining, we won't be able to do it. But it's just been a really good sort of tradition now where we have a bonfire on Thursday evening. So everybody loves it.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds like fun. There's nothing like the smell of the firewood outside. And
It's just very relaxing.
Yeah. So the first full day of gig is Friday, and I know there are historic walks in the morning and evening on both Friday and Saturday. So you said dogs can attend those if people want their dogs to come. Are they guide-led, or is it at your own pace?
No, they're guided.
Okay.
In fact, this year, for the first year, we're actually, I don't think we're doing one on Friday morning this year, but we're doing Friday evening
up
at the seminary. We're going to do an evening walk and admission into the museum just for us. So that's a way that people who don't want to get up early in the morning can do a historic guided walk from the seminary.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And this is the first year we've done that. And we're doing it on both Friday night and Saturday night, so people don't have to, they don't have to decide one thing or another. They can do it on whatever night is convenient.
Sure.
This year, for the first time, we sort of decided that because we're so big now, we can't really do one thing for everybody. There's not enough parking anywhere in town. There's not enough space for all of us. So what we've decided to do is plan several events for each evening.
Okay.
People can come to those events or not, or go to the next one, or go to the next one, or go to all of them if they want to. So there's going to be several things both evenings that people can attend.
Oh, that's great. That's really great. So the only problem is deciding which really fun event to go to.
Sure. And some people try to go to all of them.
Yeah.
I'm sure. We had an event last year that we're going to repeat again this year. It's called Game Night. And we just get together in the hotel and play games. And the Axel family from Maine, a lot of people will know them. Billy Axel is a photographer, and he comes every year as a vendor. Well, his family is so much fun. We decided to ask them to do games. So they set up games. And they're meant to be games that help people get to know each other.
Okay.
And promote new people making friends so that they'll all come back the next year.
Sure.
Together. Or at least you can say you know people after your first event instead of standing in the corner and not knowing anybody.
Right.
So that's kind of what we shoot for, is this is a social after all, and we want people to interact and talk to each other, and game night is a way to get people to do that. So we'll be adding that for Friday night.
Excellent. Yeah, and that sounds like a lot of fun too.
It is fun. Yeah, it really is. I went last year and we just had a blast.
So, and also, you know, I didn't see video, but I saw pictures from that event, and it looked like, you know, a lot of adults, but a lot of kids too. And
Yeah,
and people smiling. Everybody looked so happy, and it looked like such a blast. Good.
You don't see any frowns at game night.
No. So registration opens at 10 a.m. on Friday, but for those who'd like to avoid lines, can folks pre-register? And if they can pre-register, where do they go to do that, and how much does it cost?
Oh, absolutely, they can pre-register. And we encourage people to pre-register because, pardon me, that guarantees you your entrance, and it also gives you your wristband for to get into the seminar area. Last year, for the first time, we did this thing where if you aren't registered, you can't listen to the speakers.
Wow.
And so we're continuing that this year, where you have to register in order to get into the seminars. That's the only thing that the bracelet really gets you, but that's a big part of gig, is the speakers.
Oh, yeah.
So registration is open now on the website, and it is less expensive if you pre-register online. You can do all of your, order your T-shirts, you can order your raffle tickets, you can do everything online at one time using your credit card or sending a check, whatever you want to do. And so you just go to the website, which is greyhoundsandgettysburg.org, and there's a button there for registration. You just register. And it will walk you through the process. It's very easy.
Yeah, and I did pre-register, and I will say it is super easy, you know, step by step.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and quick. You know, it was fast and easy. I will have a link in the show notes to where people can go to just click and go pre-register for this event. So what if, say, someone doesn't pre-register? Do they have to come on Friday to register, or is registration open throughout the event?
No, they can register anytime. They can come up to the Nittany Greyhounds table and buy a registration. It costs the same no matter what day you come. We don't give discounts or anything like that. If you want to register, you register whenever you get there. I think it's $5 more a person if you don't register until you get there. And you're also not guaranteed a goodie bag, because we only have so many.
Right.
And once those are gone, they're gone. So the only way to be sure that you're going to get your goodie bag is to pre-register.
You know, it's funny. I have in my notes here to mention the goodie bag because I want that goodie bag. So I was sure to pre-register.
They're really nice. They're always nice every year. We do a different one. It's always chock full of stuff. And it's a good one to have. So the only way to guarantee that is to pre-register. So got to do that. And I believe, I didn't look at the date before the call, but I think pre-registration ends at the end of March or the very beginning of April. So you need to do it now if you're going to do it.
Great. Yeah. Yeah. I would encourage everybody, as soon as you're done listening to this episode, go and register. Again, there's a show note. It's not the show notes. There's a link in the show notes where you can certainly register. And again, it's quick and easy, and you'll be guaranteed that goodie bag, which, you know, I hope everyone can get that. Yes. So Friday, Saturday, and Sunday of gig, there is vendor shopping, which is so exciting to me. So tell me what kind of goods and services folks can expect to see at gig, and are Greyhounds welcome in the vending area?
Oh, gosh, yes. Yes. Okay, Greyhounds are welcome everywhere that we have anything going on. The aisles are very wide, so there's no, like, nose-to-nose touching and things like that. But we always have to remind people to pay attention to what their dogs are doing. But typically, there's plenty of room inside for everybody. There are 70 vendors, and honestly, anything that you could possibly want, you can pretty much find a gig. You really have to look at every booth and make sure you check out all of the products. We have several new vendors this year. Every year we have a little bit of a turnover, partly because people retire or they can't come for whatever the reason. So we refill the spot with somebody else. And this year we have quite a few new vendors, and they're going to be offering all kinds of new things. So it's never the same thing 2 years in a row, although the basic footprint of the event remains the same, because that's what people want. They want the same kind of events, but we try to change it up as best we can. We do a really fun costume contest on Saturday, so people need to get their costumes together and enter, and we give a cash prize for that. So it's a really fun, it's just everything is meant to promote fun. The shopping is great. You know, all of the socials, people get involved a lot. It's people love them. So it's really fun.
And then tell me about raffles at gig. So I understand there's a couple of them that go on. Is that right?
Right. We do what we call the regular raffle, which is the tickets are pulled on Saturday afternoon. And that is like every vendor gives us a gift. So there are at least 70 gifts in this raffle. And then we have all kinds of things that we've collected throughout the year that we put into it. And then we pull the tickets on Saturday. And each gift is usually probably valued at around $50. Kind of totally depends on what it is. But they're nice. They're nice raffle packages. And it's a Chinese raffle, which you put your ticket in the bag, and then we choose tickets out of that bag. So you have a chance at the prize that you want, not necessarily any prize that's being raffled off.
Gotcha.
And like I said, that happens on Saturday afternoon. And then on Sunday, we're doing our, what we call our high-end raffle, which is artistic things that have been made just for us.
Wow.
Or specifically for the event. You know, we have like, for instance, a set of luggage that was made by a seamstress that's made out of Greyhound fabric. We have handmade articles specifically for us. We have this year two ceramic busts of Greyhounds dressed in Confederate and Union Army wear.
Wow.
They'll go in the high-end raffle. So that one, the tickets are a little higher, and those will be pulled on Sunday. So it pays to stay on Sunday. A lot of people last year commented that they didn't realize that we had extended gig for another day. But we have. So Sunday is a big day of shopping and raffles, and we don't have speakers, but we will do the speed run on Sunday morning. And we're always adding stuff all the time. So who knows what else we'll come up with for Sunday.
Right. And I read every word on the Greyhounds of Gettysburg website, and I can see Sunday is definitely just as full as the other days.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And we're still adding. So we'll be going right up to the last minute of adding things. We do also have the off-leash play area, which is always a big hit. You know, it's 100 by 100, and people can take their dogs off-leash and let them play.
Oh, nice.
I would remind people to bring a muzzle if they want to do that, because your dog has to be muzzled if it's over 50 pounds.
Okay. Which makes sense.
And we do have hours for small dogs as well as hours for big dogs. So
nice.
Small dogs and big dogs don't mix either.
Perfect. Perfect. Yeah. And, let me just repeat something you said. For dogs 50 pounds and over, please bring a dog muzzle if you would like your dog to be in the play area.
Right. And we'll have a few extras there. And I do think that one of the vendors is going to be selling muzzles or renting muzzles, I think. I'm pretty sure that's what she said. So anyway, there'll be plenty of opportunities for dogs to be in the play area. And that's 24 hours a day. They can go over there and be in there anytime they want. So.
Oh, 24 hours a day. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Nice. Nice. So you talked about seminars. What mm-hmm. are some of the topics that we'll be hearing this year?
Okay. Well, this year, we've tried to focus on topics that are relevant to Florida dogs now. And by that, I mean, with the situation in Florida, more dogs are coming north, and they're coming faster, or they will, and we are focusing on trying to be ready for them. So, for instance, a couple of the seminars given by Bob Whitmer, our behaviorist, one of them is about leadership in a pack, how to be the leader of your pack, and tips and tricks about how to make sure your dogs understand, particularly if you're adding a new dog to your pack. And that's the second seminar he's doing, is about how to add a new dog properly. Mm. And doing that in a way that the dog understands its role in the pack, who's the leader of the pack. These are questions as an adoption group that we get all the time.
Sure.
Where people don't quite understand what it means to be leader.
Sure.
So his seminars are going to focus on adding a new dog and how to do that properly. One of the other seminars is about hookworms.
Mm.
The secret life of hookworms, that's what it's called. And Jennifer Ng, who is all over Facebook with really good veterinary advice, has agreed to come from South Carolina and do this presentation for us about hookworms. Everybody has different answers,
yep.
different solutions. Nobody really understands it.
Yeah.
People are frustrated. Every single dog coming north has them. And so what we're trying to do is offer people correct information, proper dosages, proper procedures that work. So she has agreed to come and do that. So I'm really excited about that. This is her first visit to GIG, and she's being really good about doing this presentation for us. We have a couple of other presentations about the Gettysburg, the Civil War.
Nice.
Which we try to do at least one every year. One is the Paranormal Society. It's coming back, and they're going to do a presentation about ghosts in Gettysburg. The guy that was there last year who does a touch seminar is going to come back, and he's going to do that again in a formal setting. And then we have, let's see, who else? I'm drawing a blank all of a sudden, but
that's
nevertheless.
Okay.
Oh, we have, the China dog situation, the meat trade dogs.
Yes.
Amy is going to do that. And the disclaimer there is that there's no graphic slides. There's not going to be a lot of disgusting information. This is about positive solutions for dogs in an unfortunate situation.
Yeah, and I'm so glad that you clarified that, because I know a lot of people, like, they'll avoid mm-hmm. anything having to do with the meat trade, and even in many cases things having to do with the plight of galgos in Spain.
Right.
So
right.
And understandably so, like, you know, some images and even just descriptions of what's going on can really be horrific triggers for people. So, So I would encourage people who don't know much about the China dog situation to go hear that seminar, because a lot of people don't understand what's going on in China, and it's great that the word's getting out. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. This is something we want to address. What we try to do every year is address the most relevant and current topics for greyhounds and for things going on around the world. And this is the latest and one of the more important ones, I think, that we need to talk about. So I do think that that's going to be an important seminar for people to hear what's happening and how they can help.
So. Right. Yeah, so a full lineup for sure of speakers, and I know I want to hear every single one of them, especially the hookworm one. We actually do have an episode of the podcast called Hooked on Hookworms, which is like just a disgusting title, but I thought it was funny.
It is funny.
Yeah, thank you. Because they are the bane of so many adopters' existence, and getting rid of them is no easy chore, so I am really glad that there's going to be a seminar on that, because like Nittany Greyhounds at Greyhound Friends of New Jersey, we also get that, you know, questions about the hookworms all the time.
Oh, gosh, all the time.
Yeah, they're nasty little things. So, so that's great. So, you know, jam-packed speaker lineup, which is great. Let's say, Tony, I'm at gig. I want to shop, or, I just want to sit down and take a break. Is there a way for me to get someone to watch my dog here and there?
Yes. During vending hours, we do have doggy babysitting. There is a large batting cage out behind the All-Star Center, and we set that up with blankets, and there is shelter there. And one of the adoption groups, I think it's Shug this year, is sponsoring doggy babysitting both days, Friday and Saturday. I don't believe they're doing Sunday, but Friday and Saturday during vending hours, which would be 10 to 4, there is doggy babysitting. And we encourage people not to leave their dogs there all day.
Sure.
Because it is stressful for the dogs. They see their people walking away and they think they've been abandoned. So, you know, we encourage people maybe an hour, 2 hours, maybe three if they have somewhere they have to be, but generally you can take your dog almost anywhere. There are lots of restaurants in town that will accommodate the dogs. The hotels all accommodate the dogs. So, you know, the doggy babysitting is a good short-term solution, and it's a good way for Shug to get some donations as well. So we encourage people to leave a donation for the babysitters. And that will be there and be open.
Nice. So, the bottom line is that Nittany Greyhounds, you are an adoption group. Will you have adoptable greyhounds at the event?
Sometimes we do. It's very difficult for us because we're so busy for us to have adoptable dogs there. And our adoption process isn't one where people can adopt a dog on the spot.
Sure, of course.
We don't like to do that. It's very difficult. It's very stressful at gigs. So not only for the dogs, but for us. So if we can work it out, if we have someone who volunteers to take care of the dog or those dogs, then we can do it. But typically we don't. And I don't know. I know that Shug brings some dogs. Some other groups bring some dogs. But in general, the adoption groups have a process.
Of course.
And each adopter is vetted. So I don't know that they will adopt on the spot.
Right.
It's a place to come and talk about greyhounds, look at greyhounds, talk to adoption groups. There's plenty of them there. And see what group you want to work with. Maybe you can even file an application. The process is there. But to actually walk away with the dog from gig, it doesn't typically happen. We have done it, but not. It's only if someone is a previous adopter, is already approved.
Right.
They know we have a dog there, and they're coming to see that dog, you know.
Right.
That's kind of the situation.
So,
but typically, you're not going to walk away from gig with the dog.
So it's fair to say, unless it's been prearranged and you're pre-approved, don't expect to go there and adopt.
Right.
Okay.
Right. But there's plenty of ways to get information.
Yep.
There might be adoptable dogs there for you to meet, but I don't know whether a group would actually just give you a dog to take home.
Yeah.
Every group is a little different.
Yeah.
So it kind of depends on the group.
Okay. Great. So, I want to get to the blur of fur speed run.
Yeah.
That's going to be on Sunday. What exactly is that?
Well, that's when we put your dog in a chute and put you at the other end and see how fast your dog can run or how slow. We give prizes for the fastest and the slowest.
Okay.
And it's just a fun run. Basically, we just encourage the dogs to run as fast as they possibly can. And then we have people, we do it inside the play area, so no dog can get away, nothing like that. It's just a really fun thing to do.
Yeah, that sounds fun.
The last couple of years, we haven't been able to do it because it was so wet. We don't do it if the ground is wet. But if it's dry, we'll definitely do it, and it's always a lot of fun.
It sounds like fun.
It is. It's just basically your dog racing against himself, and some of them are interested. Some of them just want to stop and pee on the fence, but, you know, we try to work it out.
Yep. So, what tips could you give to people like me who it's their first time attending gig?
Oh my, there's just so much. I don't think it's tips as much as it is just come and have fun. I mean, if you're staying at the Eisenhower, which is close by, then you have the opportunity to go to your room and rest during the day. There's a lot going on. There's a lot of people who will bring an X-Pen and set themselves up in the activities area where the speakers are and just use that as kind of a home base.
Ah, okay.
We have people who set up a tent outside and use that as their home base. You know, there's a lot of grassy area at the All-Star, so, you know, people will bring an easy up and set up their tables and chairs and sit there all day.
Okay.
You just kind of need to be prepared for an all-day picnic, basically.
Which sounds really nice.
The good thing is that if it rains, we're inside.
Yeah.
So the activities area is plenty big enough to set up an X-Pen, set up chairs, you know, sit in there all day. There's a lot of room inside the All-Star Center. So we've never had it filled to capacity yet. So it's all good.
Good. Good. Speaking of indoor-outdoor, what is the weather like in April in Gettysburg?
Oh, my. It can be anywhere from 90 degrees to 32 degrees and snowing. I've been to all of those. And, again, because almost everything we do is inside, it really doesn't dampen anything. Center is heated and air-conditioned. So there's really nothing stopping anyone from coming and shopping and listening to the speakers. You know, the walks won't be as easy if it's raining or cold. But I will tell you this, we do it whether it's raining or not. They go on those historic walks and 50 people will go in the rain. They don't care. So if they really want to participate, it doesn't much matter what the weather's doing. You just come accordingly, you know. You bring some warm clothes, watch the weather, see what you need. It gets cool in the evening. There's no way around that. It is April. It's just barely spring. So, but generally, we've had really good luck. And being inside the building, it doesn't matter what it's doing outside.
Right. Right. Makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So I know people come from all over, not just this country, but there are also international visitors to gig.
Mm-hmm.
Many people bring their dogs. How do I know where I can book accommodations that can also take my dog?
Well, if you go onto the website, again, there is a button called Where to Stay. And we have, there are four hotels that we actually have contracts with that give a better rate than you would get if you just called. But there's a whole list there. There are probably 20 hotels on that list that accept dogs. Most of them are in Gettysburg. One of them is in Emmitsburg, Maryland, which is basically closer to the All-Star Center than Gettysburg is to the All-Star Center.
Oh.
But people think because it's in Maryland, it's too far away. Well, it's 5 minutes. So really, people really need to look at the list and see which hotels they like, which ones, you know, can accommodate them best and what the rates are. All the rates are about the same, and the hotels are basically about the same. The Eisenhower has been all renovated this year, so there shouldn't be the issues that that hotel has had in the past. But it's right on the property, the same property as the All-Star. So a lot of people want to stay there for the convenience. And I'm hoping that this year will be good with them because they're renovated and accommodating us with a buffet breakfast in the morning for free and all that.
Oh, wow. So nice.
I'm optimistic.
Nice. What are some of your tips for people traveling with dogs?
I think a lot of it depends on the weather. If it's hot, don't leave them in the car.
Yep.
Make sure you have plenty of water. You might want to bring water from home so that they're drinking your water while they're there and not strange water that might be completely different. It might mess up their systems.
Okay.
You know, I don't think as far as fleas and ticks go, we've never had a problem with fleas. If you're planning to be out on the battlefield, there can be an issue with ticks that time of the year. So make sure that your dog has tick prevention. Or the other thing is just to go over the dog every time you come into the hotel.
Mm.
Just go over your dog, make sure there aren't any lingering ticks. If you're going to be out on the battlefield, you just take all the tick prevention precautions that you know about already. Tuck your pants in, you know, wear boots, not flip-flops, that sort of thing.
Yep.
So it's just a matter of being logical. Bring a pad for your dog to lay on. You know, I don't know that there's, I think people who travel with their dogs get it. You know, they kind of know. And there's always a lot of people on our Facebook page that are putting on their tips. And I do believe there's some stuff on the website as well, in the booklet, about how to travel with your pet, what to bring along for the hotel room, that sort of thing. We would suggest that people take the bedspreads off the hotel room beds and put on a sheet or something that if their dog jumps up on the bed, it's not going to soil the bedspread. And,
sure.
You know, just common sense kinds of things. If you're traveling, make sure, you know, that you're not leaving your dog in the car for any length of time. That's probably the biggest one.
Yeah.
But
so it sounds like
I would hope most people would already know that, but, you know.
You never know. So
I don't take that for granted.
So it sounds like a lot of common sense, common courtesy. And
it absolutely is. And just being considerate of other people. If you're going to leave your dog in your room, you know, try to make it for short periods of time. But basically every room has a dog in it. So if they're all barking at one time, it's not a big deal.
Okay, good.
You know, just one of those things where everybody understands
that
the hotel is full of dogs. But you don't want dogs howling and carrying on. Basically, what happens is if your dog is in your room howling and crying and screaming, tearing the room apart, then they report it to the front desk. The front desk calls you on your cell phone to tell you that your dog is making a racket and they expect you to take care of it. So some people will do that when they go out for dinner. They'll leave their dogs, and that's fine. But if your dog is stressed during that process, that's not a good thing. So, you know, we stay right there in the hotel too. And so if we get any complaints or we hear a dog carrying on, we'll put a note on the door or something like that, so people understand that their dog's not happy when they're not there.
Yeah. So in the show notes, I, again, will have the link to the gig website where you can go and see those different tips for when traveling. And we also have a podcast episode about traveling with one's dog, and I'll put a link to that in the show notes as well, because, you know, we'll cover all the bases there.
Sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Tony, I am so impressed with your organization and this event, and I want to congratulate you on celebrating the 21st year of Greyhounds in Gettysburg. Obviously, a ton of work goes into this. I suspect it's a labor of love for you.
Oh my gosh, absolutely.
Yeah.
We're already working on 2020.
I'm sure you are. I mean, this is a huge event, and I, like I said, I can only imagine all the details that have to be attended to, and the amount of dedicated volunteers that you have who help you put this together, it's extraordinary what
you
guys
do. Oh, yeah, this is not all me, by any means. I have a fantastic team. Our whole board, everybody has a job, and everybody does what they need to do to make this event successful. And without them, we couldn't do it. And, you know, as we're going along in the future, we're planning through 2021, and we'll see beyond that what things look like, what the landscape looks like for greyhound racing and greyhound ownership and, you know, all that. I don't know how it will morph into the next phase of what it is, or if it morphs at all. I don't have the answer to that yet, but we're planning through 21, and we'll go from there after that.
Fantastic. Tony, anything else that you would want our listeners to know about GIG?
Not really. The only thing that I would say is that given the atmosphere right now, the uncertainty of the greyhound breed, I think it's more important than ever that we come together as a community to help those dogs that will be moving. We know they will be. It's just a matter of when. And, you know, just be ready and able to accommodate whatever they need. We are looking at this as sort of a no hound left behind sort of effort, and we'll be there until the very last greyhound comes out of Florida, and we're going to keep people informed, and we're going to keep celebrating the breed as long as we possibly can. So this is kind of the start of a whole new direction, and we want everybody to come and enjoy it and know what's going on and follow the process.
Beautifully said, Tony. Thank you for that. Thank you for everything that you do, leading Nittany Greyhounds, being the executive director of GIG, everything you're doing. Cannot thank you enough. And of course, thank you for being on today's show.
No problem at all, and we'll see you at GIG.
You will see me at GIG, which is exciting for me.
Okay, awesome.
So for the About Greyhounds podcast, this is Jacqueline Howard. Thank you for listening, and we will most certainly catch you on the next episode.